With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. I'm all about that fuss-free glam. Give me makeup that's versatile and feels like air on my skin and has ingredients that love my face, that's good for my face. You know, clean ingredients. And don't even get me started on mascaras because I do want them bold and lengthening. And so we have Thrive Cosmetics, which I've been using since 2020, obviously because I appreciate their foolproof products that make it really easy to apply for any skill level. And they have a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look, but also they give back. Every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. Hence why it's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare are not just makeup brands, they're a whole vibe. They're all about empowering us to rock our confidence, and when you support them, we are helping other communities thrive. Their stuff is not only easy to use, but no nasties, zero parabens, sulfites, phthalates. They are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Let's talk lashes. Thanks to Thrive's liquid lash extensions, I must say that my lashes are just so beautiful and lush. It adds length, there are no clumps, and also guess what? It slides right off with warm water, so no raccoon eyes here. And I appreciate they have nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And it's a unique formula they use that creates these tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. We've had problems in the past with the link, but the link does work now. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
There is nothing in life that you cannot breathe through except death. And since we're all alive, it means at least there's one breath left. So pull it deep into your chest, into your bones, into your breasts, into your blood, into your necks, into the mud, into the depth, until it hugs your souls and suffocates the space that you have left, until it tugs your heartstrings and leaves your molecules caressed. Just a few precious seconds right before eternal rest, will you fight for your survival from this uninvited guest? Will you Rolodex your history to glamorize regrets or set your sights on new arrivals? revel and go sprinting up the steps. Me, I'll revel in the wonder of the colors and the shapes.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, and Jaima Yomis. It's Raquel. Oh, and it's been a wild month. I'm in California, which has been under lockdown for a few weeks now, where we're ordered to stay inside with few exceptions like the grocery store and the bank. Pretty much everything else is closed though, and I'm sure many of you are either just starting to experience it or have been experiencing lockdown for a while. What I really want to send out though is for anybody that is extremely affected by COVID-19 right now, feel whatever you are feeling and that there's no need to suppress it whatsoever. Be open to the lessons that happen to come from this for you and for the greater expansion of this collective experience. And I hope that this episode, though, does bring you some light, as when there are moments where we trek through darkness or hard times, we all deserve pockets of light, right? And so I hope this episode delivers that to you, though of course we do discuss what is very apparent in our world right now. We do alchemize it into, I think, an artful conversation in some way. And that is the beauty of whatever we're going through, is to alchemize it. Defining myself is like confining myself. So I undefine myself to find myself. Words from today's magical guests. In cue. We all may be experiencing a bit of physical confinement in some way, which honestly is doable, but what really is unbearable is feeling confinement mentally, emotionally, or spiritually by holding back whatever's going on within, or not allowing yourself to feel whatever you're feeling. So again, whatever you are feeling, it's okay to face it and feel it so you can release it and so you can free it. And also, what a beautiful time for us to collectively embrace whatever each other is feeling as we're experiencing this together. And there's no judgment at all, taking it day by day and embracing each present moment and bringing light into each present moment. And again, I hope this episode does bring you some light, because it was a really fun conversation. Allie, my former co-host, I'm sure you are very well aware of her existence, her mermaid magical existence. Allie actually introduced me to NQ's work back in 2017. She introduced me to his work because she knew I just loved writing poems. I was writing poems every morning pretty much, especially on my nature walks. And I had been doing that since high school. But I really started to dive deep into writing, especially more spiritual, soulful writing, in about 2014, 2015, when this spiritual trajectory really started to accelerate. And I became open to it. Yet I had these visions as well when it came to my poetry of how I might share it with the world in verbal expression, or I guess what NQ does, spoken word poetry, and how I stepped into that or didn't. We'll talk about that on this episode. That's actually one of the most powerful moments in this episode. And I hope that something hits you when you listen to this and all of this. And what I also just admire about NQ's expression since day one is that he really does question most all things in life and opens us up to questioning more about life. And it's always so nice to hear someone share in writing a way you're feeling or perceiving your world, you know? And he articulates things in a way that my soul feels, and it's like, yes, this is me. It's just so nice to hear another person's version and another person's articulation of the way they perceive the world that parallels the way you see the world. We're all going through these universal experiences. We're all mirrors for each other. So for those of you who may not be familiar with NQ, well, he is actually a National Poetry Slam champion, is an award-winning poet, and a multi-platinum songwriter. And he's also written with
Aloe Black, Miley Cyrus, Mike Posner, Foster the People, you know, just to name a few. He's on Oprah's Super Soul 100 list of the world's most influential thought leaders. Yet again, when it comes to NQ, he's just inspired so many through the way he shares his art. We talk about how no one's really superhuman, but we all at the same time have superhuman powers, right? Right? So he's superhuman in his own way. And I love that he's just really living his truth fully to the fullest and relishing in it. And his book, yes, he's got a book out now called Inquire Within. And it's ready for you to order. I will indeed leave that link in the show notes for you to order. It comes out March 31st. I know this podcast is released the day before, but still, you can order it. You won't really have to wait. Order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indies. Again, bringing light to those dark times, I highly recommend just relishing in poetry that nourishes your soul and allows you to feel, so you can also continue to feel whatever else you're feeling right now. And it's been inspiring new poems for this poetry book that I've, in a sense, been working on for like 5 years now. Which, yes, it's coming, I promise, just in divine timing. I'm not pressuring it, I'm not pushing it. I am seeing new experiences for it, so I'm allowing that to unveil. And I'm like, okay, you know what, this is just one of those art pieces that is just going to come out when she's ready. So in the meantime, go grab NQ's poetry book and just allow that, his poetry, to nourish your soul. And what also nourishes my soul are your reviews. Shout out to this week's Yomi review from Elise_Breeze. I'm so happy that all the guests have been vibing with you, like you say, and especially at this time, we may need a reminder of what really is good, what really matters, what is so true for our souls, no matter what is going on in the world, and bring magic and light to this time. So I'm actually gonna post clips of past magic guests either once or twice a week, little mini episodes, little mini clips just for you to, again, nourish the soul in some way. Breeze, I'm happy that the guests have vibed with you. And if this podcast has inspired you in any way, and you have a moment, it would mean the world to simply just hear from you in a review wherever you're from and leave your name and your Instagram handle, if you have an Instagram handle, so I can shout you out specifically. All right, with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with NQ. But sometimes they like to hear the beginning of a combo.
Okay, well, this is the beginning.
This is really the beginning, so this will obviously not be in.
Yeah. No, you could keep it in, I mean, if you want.
Yeah, maybe.
If you want it to be, like, more authentic.
Yeah, it's 11:11.
Make a wish.
Adam, do you like to be called Adam or NQ?
In life, I don't mind being called Adam, but on the podcast, I'd rather be called NQ just because it makes it easier.
Absolutely. Well, NQ, I'm so extremely moved right now because you just uploaded a video to your YouTube, like, what, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, I didn't even know that it was up.
Yep, it is up. I was like the 20th view 22 or something like that. And
beautiful. Thank you.
I watched it and I was moved and I'm like, what a way to segue into chatting with NQ because wow. Was that a new one? A new poem?
No. Unfortunately, it's an old one. I don't know if unfortunately is the right word, but, you know.
Well, it's fitting.
It's unfortunate in the way that it's applicable to the moment that we're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the unfortunate part, yeah. You know, is that it's relevant. Like any of the social or political pieces that I do, I write them for myself first. I mean, I'm definitely the first person in my audience. Mm-hmm. And yet I have like an immediate hope that I can retire them. You know, I don't want to have to share them. I don't want them to be relevant anymore.
And you're right. Unfortunately, this one is, and it really, really hit home, and it will hit home for many. I can't actually, I really am going to share this with my dad right after this podcast because he's an old 75-year-old man who is brought to tears and chills the second he is moved by something, and he's already been extremely moved by a few of your other videos that some I believe have gone viral, which is really amazing. But this one, wow. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Well, I'm happy to be talking to you right now. And, you know, I know that you were not feeling well. Yeah. So how are you feeling? Are you feeling better? And what was going on?
I would
on?
Like to say absolutely feeling better because my temperature Good. Is lower, which is wonderful. And yeah, if I just continue to quarantine myself and stay inside and relax, I begin to feel better. Plus, do you ever listen to Joe Dispenza?
I love Joe Dispenza. Yeah. I've seen him talk live a couple of times, actually, at random conferences that I was at. Yeah, he's a really, really powerful voice, you know, in terms of manifesting your reality and kind of changing what's going on in your body based on how you imagine it and the words that you choose to speak to yourself. And so anyone who's listening to this who hasn't checked out Joe Dispenza, he's really the truth and worth delving into his work.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the nose right there. That's why I've been just listening to him to heal. And it's... Mm-hmm. A, I don't think I have the coronavirus, but just something else. B, I really do feel better. And I think it's because my mind has been, or I've been reminding myself, I really am okay. I feel better. And it's helped a lot. Thanks to the work of Dr. Joe.
Dr. Joe, shout out. Yeah. I mean, look, God forbid, but even if you did, I mean,
yeah,
you know, most of the population, unfortunately, is going to get it until there's a vaccine that's created. So
I know.
It's, a really wild and unfathomable situation, and, you know, is going to immediately change the world.
As it already has.
Yeah.
It's uniting us in such a beautiful way too, but you're right. Why does it have to take a disaster such as this to bring us together? Like the title of your recent poem, it shouldn't take a disaster to bring us together.
Yeah, I think that people... By the way, I don't know if this is like the most interesting conversation so far. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of babbling and not focused on the book or anything specific. But
That's your mind. People love this.
Okay,
no,
cool.
Because you're going to be talking about that on every other podcast as well, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But I mean, people want to hear all of it and what's going on in your heart. This is so relevant for everybody as well. So this is beyond interesting
all right.
to me. At
cool.
least.
Yeah, I think that it's like an impossible situation to ignore. And it's a weird thing to try to be selling something right now. I mean, I've worked on this poetry for 25 years and I believe in it, and I think it's medicine for me and hopefully medicine for other people. And so I just kind of had to decide that I wasn't going to market it or sell it. I was just going to kind of share it. There's no way not to acknowledge the pain and suffering that people are going through right now and how this is going to continue and the uncertainty and the anxiety that you're feeling in the world if you pay attention to it beyond even your own experience. And I think that in terms of personal experience, look, when a person makes a systemic change in their life, it usually happens after they face some sort of a disaster or a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, kind of shakes them up and wakes them up out of their slumber and allows them to see themselves and their lives as it really is, not how they maybe would imagine it to be, you know, or want it to be, but how it actually is. And they are forced in that window to take responsibility for their actions or to ignore it and fall back asleep again. And, you know, if they fall back asleep again, sometimes they don't get another chance like that for 10 years. And so, you know, that's pretty deep in and of itself. But if they wake up to their actions, then they can actually shift, you know, and make real change in their life. And so in that way, it becomes an opportunity. And I think a person is, you know, I mean, an individual is the collective. And I think this is our collective opportunity to make a shift, because what we've been doing is clearly unsustainable as humanity. And there will be an end to this. I mean, I actually have a lot of like, not apocalyptic thoughts. I'm not really that type of a person. I always will end on hope, but I think that this is going to be infinitely worse than most people are acknowledging or imagining right now. Mm-hmm. And yet, without getting into the details of what I think based on, you know, the facts that are out there right now, there is an end to this. You know, no matter how long this takes, from 6 months to 2 years, there is an end. There will be a vaccine and there will be an end to this. There will not be an end to climate change. And if we fall asleep again, we're going to wake up in 20 years and it will be existential. And so I think this is a warning from Mother Nature, and it's going to take all of us going through this collective suffering to make some systemic changes. And I'm talking to myself, too.
And I, even though I do what I can, I'm listening to you as though it's like, wow, there's so much more we can all do. And by the way, what you're saying right now, along with just the poetry that's in your book, but really what you're saying right now in this present moment is medicine. So don't even worry about the fact. I'm glad that you're not worried about the fact that you're for marketing this poetry book, because literally what you're sharing in your heart in this present moment reminds us our truth, which is very much aligned with your truth, which therefore makes us want to, of course, dive into the words that you are preaching from your soul or sharing from your soul. And yeah, your book right now has been medicine for me as I've been healing, but also just talking with you right now about this, I'm like, ugh, Adam is, our NQ is amazing.
Yeah, it's okay. You can call me Adam too. Well, I just, you know, NQ is actually, it's inquiry. Mm-hmm. And it was like given to me when I was 15 years old. My buddy Jay and I were walking and I needed a rap name. And he was like, you should be Inquiry because you ask a lot of questions. And so then people just started calling me Inquiry, and then people started calling me NQ for short, and then NQ later got changed to In Question, which is basically like my life philosophy. Yeah. So I think that's part of the reason that we decided to name the book Inquire Within. And, you know, I rarely hear my real name, but, you know, definitely my real name is Adam.
Yeah. Well, and your real name is also in Q. It is your real name too. It really is.
They've gotten closer together over the years, you know, like in terms of like more aligned, you know, at the beginning, I think it was perfectly aligned. And then after I started to get some validation from it, your ego like sneaks into the equation, and then, you know, they're almost like compartmentalized versions, you know, like in Q is like this mask that I wore to explore the truth, and Adam was somebody different, but now I feel that they're more aligned again.
That's so funny how that works out that way. And that's interesting that you say it was a mask that you wore, but it seems as though, I feel as though it has been very much stripped away, because what you share again is just pure raw truth, and you're speaking from your soul.
Thank you.
When you write. Also, when I do read your poetry, my inner voice doesn't only say, yes, I totally feel this, but also I feel like my inner rapper is speaking. Because there's
everybody has an inner rapper.
Really?
That's true.
Even this one. So you bring her alive.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to perform, by the way, too. Usually I would discuss that with people before doing the podcast, but we somehow jumped right in. So if there's anything that you loved from the book, or if there's anything else that you would like to hear, I mean, I'm certainly happy to be of service and to perform something that hopefully will be of value to your listeners, you know.
Would love for you to perform. You can, yeah, how about one in your book? I was going to say it shouldn't take a disaster, but you know what? No. How about one from your book?
You know what? Can I do something completely different?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's because Allie, who of course you know very, very well.
Yeah.
I mean, her and I ended up doing this retreat in Bali a while back. And the way that I write in general is I just pay attention to when I'm moved or annoyed or inspired, and I will start the poem from there. And sometimes that comes from me, and then sometimes it comes from other people. And I will always ask them, I will say, that really resonated deeply with me. Can I steal that? You know, and if they say yes, then beautiful. And if they say no, because they want to use it for something or, you know, they're just not comfortable, then I'm always fine with that. But Ali said something so profound, and it became the beginning of one of my poems. And so we were literally in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah.
At this retreat. And she was teaching a class, and she's such an incredible teacher and facilitator.
Yes.
And so I was, you know, deep in my practice and in one of the yoga positions. And, you know, I don't know if it was like downward dog or it was something though. And she said, "There is nothing in life that you cannot breathe through except death." And I literally got out of my position and I wrote it down. And then I came up to her afterwards and I said, "Can I steal that?" And she was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Which was really kind of her because she's such an incredible poet herself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she could have used it for herself, but she was nice enough to let me take it. And I feel like it would be appropriate to do that poem.
Ooh, okay. Major chills. Yes, absolutely. Plus, I mean, of course she would allow you to because she just knows that more is to come from within her.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. You know, the paying attention to where you're moved is kind of the starting line to running the race of creating anything. And so sometimes when you don't pay attention, things just fall back into the universe and they can be gone forever or until they, you know, rise back up again and someone else pays attention to them. So that was one of those lines that I was like, I can't let that go.
I'm excited to hear it.
All right. "There is nothing in life that you cannot breathe through except death. And since we're all alive, it means at least there's one breath left. So pull it deep into your chest, into your bones, into your breasts, into your blood, into your necks, into the mud, into the depth, until it hugs your souls and suffocates the space that you have left, until it tugs your heartstrings and leaves your molecules caressed. Just a few precious seconds right before eternal rest. Will you fight for your survival from this uninvited guest? Will you Rolodex your history to glamorize regrets or set your sights on new arrivals and go sprinting up the steps? Me, I'll revel in the wonder of the colors and the shapes. The way the light resembles floating diamonds dancing on the lake. I am nobody's mistake, but my existence wasn't planned. I had to sneak into the party, they were out of wristbands. Now I'm sinking towards the exit like it's made of quicksand. See, I got used to spinning my wheels but hit the kickstand. I want to truly view the world around me while I still can. I want to worship every flower giving prayers over the lands. I want to open up my eyes so wide that what I see expands. And the beauty beams so bright it overwhelms woman and man. Fuck a portal to the light. I want to scream. I want to fight. I want to eat and fucking drink. I want to touch. I want to think. I want to feel and taste and see. I want to live. I want to be. And I'd give anything but life because I'm dying to be me. I spent half my life trying to be anything but me. Now my afterlife is spying on my new reality. And I'm vying for another breath before he sets me free. I'm defying death with everything because death's defying me. I will rant. I will rave. I will spit. I will rage. I'll go barefoot on the sun or swim a sea of razor blades. I will grow. I will age. I will slow. I will fade, I'll sleep on hot coals or juggle chainsaws and live grenades. And though I know I'll never give up, in the end I'll give way. Hey, I'm sure there's someone else with something more important to say. But until then, I'm living each and every fucking day. So when I take a breath, I do it like I swear I'm here to stay."
I'm going to let that sink in with myself and everybody else. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Oh my gosh, that has me all teared up. And we're only 17 minutes in. Wow. Oh, what often sparks your inspiration to write?
You know, it's interesting when you do a bunch of interviews or conversations, you know, you'll get asked similar questions. And so I try to find different ways to answer them. Like, but this one, there's really no different way to answer it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just pay attention. You know, I've been writing for so long, and when something stands out at me in life, there's a reason. And I think that's oftentimes why people have a hard time creating or are intimidated by creating. I think first there's this idea that it has to be great, which is way too much pressure. And then I think that there's a lack of structure. And infinite possibilities is beautiful. That's where creativity comes from. But it also can be overwhelming for people. You know, to sit down at a blank piece of paper and have the pressure without any structure to come up with something great, I mean, that's exhausting, even thinking about it. And so I think the goal should be to come up with something true. And if you sit down and you are looking to come up with something true, you're almost starting from a lie. And yet if you pay attention in your life to the things that naturally move you, and then you write them down, or you say, I want to create something about this particular subject, you know, then you're not looking for an angle. You already have an angle. And as long as I start in a place that's true, the rest of the poem will write itself almost, mm-hmm. if I give it enough time and space. I feel like I'm a shepherd or like a sculptor, but the material is already there. Trying to sit down and create something without the material can be scary. And so I think like that's why it's a gift when you feel those things. You know, when Ali said that, she was in the flow. I don't know if she had ever said that before. But it was a really beautiful concept. There is nothing in life that you cannot breathe through except death, because it gives you a proactive step to take consciously rather than unconsciously. And we all are breathing consciously, I mean, unconsciously, yeah. all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I meant to say consistently. We're all breathing consistently, unconsciously.
Yes.
That's a mouthful. You know, so. That's why it resonated with me, you know, because it reminded me to breathe consciously. And it reminded me that when I'm going through difficult things, you know, that I always have my breath. Mm-hmm. That gave me some peace. So I wanted to write a poem from there.
It's amazing when you do hear something or see something or just feel something and that inspiration strikes you. And you really took that in. You let it sink in. And you do have that structure like you talked about, and perhaps even I don't know, but you probably also have that confidence when you do step up to the plate or step up to the blank space, the blank easel, and begin to write, and you find that time and space that you're talking about. Yet a lot of people, for sure, if they haven't been writing for a while, or their mind just thinks of every excuse in the book to not, when they do begin to write from that blank paper, they may struggle to just write and apply the pressure that it's going to be a powerful piece. So what should we do when we do try to just sit down and simply write without structure? What would the structure look like?
Well, first of all, so then just imagine for the next 2 days that you're doing an experiment on yourself where you're just going to pay attention to the things that stick out to you and you're going to write them down. That is the first thing. So that is a part of the writing process. It's the research process, and you're doing research on yourself.
Oh, I love that.
What is moving and meaningful to you as you live? You're working in that way, mm-hmm. you know, you're in self-discovery. And then once you find that, just create the time and space, sit down. You know, it's funny, like I've been like talking about the book Inquire Within mm-hmm. for literally 3 months. And like part of talking about it has been explaining where the title came from and the cover and what the overall meaning, I think, is. And I want everyone to get their own meaning, but, you know, I don't strategize my inspiration. I think strategizing inspiration is one step away from manipulation. Oof. So all of my poems have been living, breathing documents. I've never even put them into one place. This is the first book I've ever had. It's the first home that I've ever had for my art. I've just traveled around the world and the country, you know, performing. We do 70 shows a year or something like that. And so what was interesting about this process is I actually got to see what I've been trying to say all of these years because I brought all of my material into one place. And so when you look at the cover of the book, it's a tree. And then obviously, you know, because you'll have it in front of you right now, but the people that are listening, there's, you know, the roots underneath it and the branches mirror the roots. And so it's the concept of as above, so below. But then when you turn it to the side, it looks like lungs.
Oh, yes.
And so the two halves of the book are inhale and exhale. And inhale is the personal, you know, poems. It's like my poetic hero's journey, you know, about my life and my father and my mother and where I came from and, you know, my process of alchemy. And then the second half, exhale, is the social and political pieces. So it's, you know, change yourself, change the world. And I think that looking at all of these poems in one place led me to this idea of what I've been trying to say all of these years, which is that the culture of consumerism is constantly trying to take from us. You know, it's trying to take our likes. It's trying to take our love. It's trying to take our time, which we can't get more of. It's trying to take our money. It's trying to take our attention. Now it's trying to take our information. And I think that the internet is an incredible tool. It's connected the entire world. And it's really, really beautiful. And especially in these times where we're all going to be quarantined, we still have a way to connect with each other. But there is a difference between us using our tools and having our tools use us. And I think that that's been more of the case these days, and that people are feeling more disconnected even before the coronavirus. You know, they feel separated from their neighbors. They feel disconnected from themselves and their own voices. And so I've been saying to people on all of these podcasts, I've been like, look, if you have something that's going on right now that you can't figure out, you know, of course, you know, you can look on Google, you can look on YouTube, you can ask a friend, you can consult a coach. But, you know, also you can just take time for yourself and like really allow the noise of the external world, this modern life that we're living, to fall away so that you can hear your one true voice, because that is the voice that is going to give you your passion and purpose and tell you where to go next. And that's why it's inquire within. It's, you know, I had to inquire within myself to create these poems. People have to inquire within the pages to read them. And ultimately, they have to inquire within themselves to hear that one true voice. And now, I mean, there's no better time to do that. I mean, I've been saying this for months and months and months, and we're now all forced into that quiet space.
Yeah.
And I think there's something, you know, separate from that speech that I've been giving, which was true for me and still is, there's something really powerful about being forced into silence so that we can hear ourselves individually and collectively and decide where we want to go next and where we want to go next. So I hope poetry is a gift for people to do that. That was the full circle of what you had asked. I hope that people pay attention to what's going on in their life right now, their fears, explore anything, but make sure it is moving to you and then sit down and create it and then just share it with someone. Call someone on the phone. It doesn't matter, you know, do FaceTime with someone and share it to them, because it's important that the poem is witnessed, because it's not about it being good. It is about it being real. And if it's real, then you're mirroring the human experience onto someone else and everyone feels less alone.
This is so profound. This is so powerful. Inquire within, which is one of the things that, which is one of the main, I guess you could say, topics that we'll talk, that we talk about on this podcast often. And I'm sure, obviously, you've been sharing on the podcast often, but really, as you're saying this, my inner voice, my soul is just reminding me of the power that poetry has helped shape me in so many ways. Yet, unlike you, which I'm so inspired by, my mind, I'm not going to lie, has the struggle of being so vulnerable about certain things for whatever reason to share it, to expose it, though I sit on so much of it, as poetry has been a healer for me and just a friend for me. And you've also always have been an inspiration for me since Allie introduced me to your work 3 years ago. And that moved me and it created so many visions of me also doing spoken word poetry. And then I went into a space where I just felt like I almost failed myself for not pursuing this vision of mine. And then you were talking about how those ideas, those visions can, you know, they are gifted to you. And then if you don't pursue it, they go into the universe and they will hopefully go on to someone else, right? These ideas, they float. And so when people are listening to this, I highly encourage at this time, they take the time to really listen within and then truly act on those visions that come to you, or make sure to continue to listen and create and share it with others. Indeed, don't just keep it to yourself, because then who knows if it will stay there, remain there. That was so powerful. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, my girlfriend last night, we were watching television. We were watching High Maintenance. Have you ever watched that show?
Uh-uh.
Okay. It is a fucking brilliant show. Brilliant. Like, I watch way too much television, but I watch it for the art of
yes.
it.
Yes.
Sometimes for the escape as well. You know, I have my own issues. Who doesn't? But High Maintenance is a really special show. So we're watching it and we finish one of the episodes. And, you know, it's like, this is coming on next week. And her jaw just like drops. And I'm like, what? And as they're doing the preview, they're doing a preview about an episode where it just like follows the life of a lighter. Like where a lighter goes, it goes from like one situation to another situation to another situation. And then it explores those people's lives, but it's really just following the lighter.
Yeah.
You know? And so she was like, you know, 5 years ago or something, she was high with her friend and she was like, we should do something about following a lighter, you know? And then of course, completely forgot about it. You know, I mean, she's an amazing creator. So she creates a lot of the ideas that she comes up with. But, you know, sometimes, as we all do, we just let something go back into the universe and then someone else picks it up.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's beautiful that someone else picked that up and created something with it. But it's also a reminder that if we have those ideas, you know, it's important for us to run with them just for our own experience of expression.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a reason that it gets dropped in your lap. You know?
Absolutely. And that is phenomenal that she was able to also witness this from watching the show. Have you heard of Big Magic, or when you bring this up, someone's referred to Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert?
Yes, yes. I haven't read it, but I mean, she's an incredible writer, so I very much respect her work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she talks about this, how thoughts are actual entities, basically, that, you know, come and they want you to bring that thought to life. But if you're not going to, okay, that's fine. I'm going to find someone else who will.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all just vibrating energy in the spiritual world. You know, it's infinite in, infinite out. I mean, even right now, you know, what are we doing? We're fighting an invisible war.
Yeah.
You know, there's more space in the world than there is solid. You know, in the universe and ourselves. And so really we're just a sea of consciousness. And so, you know, when a thought vibrating energy, you know, waveform comes in front of you, you know, you gotta hold on to it somehow and then try to build something in reality. That's what's so beautiful too, is this experience of separation in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, then you get to build things in reality. Like I'm looking at my book right now. It's an insane thing.
Mm-hmm.
you know, to look at something that you made in the world, you know, that it's actually, it came from my mind and my heart and my experiences and my body. And then we got a deal with Harper One. Shout out to Harper One, which is the spiritual division of HarperCollins. They do The Alchemist and Four Agreements. And
no big deal. No big deal.
No big deal. Yeah. And then we created it, and now it's here. It's separate from me. It has a different life from me. That's why, other than everything that's going on in the world, I love promoting it, because it's not me.
Yeah.
I hate self-promotion. Yeah. Self-promotion is so annoying. Like, but this thing is separate from me now. It has its own life, and I want it to live.
And I'm so happy that you did, that you made this happen, that you created this. And now, because you have been doing this for so long. So when I saw that your book was releasing, I'm like, it is about time. You realize that you've inspired so many of the poets that are inspiring more poets and more artists and more writers. You yourself, just in Q, 12, given this name at 15 years old or whatever, decided to share his work, and now inspiring so many more people to become artists, become poets, and share theirs. And all of that is also shown in this book, something that you probably, I don't know if you're aware of or realize, but it's powerful.
What do you mean by that? That was a nice comment. Thank you so much.
Because you're sharing these words that resonate with the collective. And because people can relate to this, because it's something that we all can relate to, it inspires something within us. Like, you heard Ali say that phrase, and it inspired something within you to write something. Well, because your work resonates and something that we can relate to, I can read something of yours, and it honestly will inspire something else, a branch off something else. I don't know if anybody else would steal your work, but it inspires more. It's like a branch. It's like one poem branches another, because it's us being able to relate and then write from our place, where our truth, what we want to share. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And to what you said earlier, I mean, it's humbling to think that other people are inspired to be poets, or to even create, or to do something positive in reality based on my work. And I've been, you know, the same, inspired by the poets in my community at the Poetry Lounge and beyond, you know, people that really pushed me to be my best version of myself artistically. And so, you know, it's a never-ending chain, hopefully. And my dream, of course, is that 8-year-olds are like, I want to be a poet when I grow up, you know, and that it's easily able to be monetized,
yeah,
as a genre in popular culture. And I, you know, I believe in it. I think poetry creates empathy, and empathy is what the world needs most right now.
So I might as well use this time to interrupt, and instead of fast forwarding, would love for you to listen, and then we'll get back into the flow of creation. So, B12, many of us listening, whether we are vegan or not, may benefit from a high potency B12 like the one Hum Nutrition provides, as B12 is shown to not only support energy levels, but also may influence our mood and hormone balance. And by the way, a deficiency in this can lead to a decrease in protein breakdown and neurotransmitter production. So buy brain cells and healthy hair and skin and nails. No, I would like to receive and enhance more of you. Actually, what I really do love about Hum as well is that they're not only affordable, like their bottle of B12, 30 vegan tablets is only $10. But on top of that, you receive Your Own Magic's discount, which is 20% off. And that is when you use the promo code MAGIC at checkout. And Hum's quality is unparalleled. I have full trust in them, as their formulas and ingredients are so meticulously selected to ensure our greatest benefit. And also, they make sure to have the least environmental impact as possible. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, gluten-free, GMO-free, and their vitamins are vegetarian and vegan-friendly. And Hum states that in cases where there is a lack of plant-based alternatives, they are actively working with suppliers to develop one. So I have an inkling of a feeling they might want to be fully plant-based, but right now, of course, their vegan inventory has increased over the years, which is absolutely amazing. And they also collaborate with registered dietitians and researchers at top universities to continue providing the best formulas that truly will impact the wealth of our health. It seems as though their focus is really helping our hair, skin, and nails, along with our metabolism and digestive health. Ooh, digestive health is huge. But of course, they also have supplements to help with sleep, aging, and getting ripped. They have one called Ripped Rooster. I've used their gut instinct on and off for years for balancing my digestion and receiving potent, high-quality probiotics. And my mom is all about their Turn Back Time right now, which has Polypodium leucotomos. Leucotomos. Leucotomos? Leucotomos? You know, I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce that. What I do know is that they are grown in Central America and, according to Hum, have been studied for their skin benefits, like preventing harmful effects on the skin associated with sunlight exposure. So, hi Raquel, I actually do need to get more of that. And it also does help with hyperpigmentation. So, hi. So, there's a variety of offerings that you can choose from, and perhaps even consult with one of their personal nutritionists for free, and they'll recommend the best nutrients for you and provide a detailed nutrition report, taking the guesswork out so that you really can just focus on results. So again, 20% off your Hum order. Just go to humnutrition.com and enter the promo code MAGIC at checkout. That's humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC. Now, continuing forward. I want to dive into questions from the Yomis. However, there was one question that came to mind as you were talking and now it went away. So I might as well just dive into the questions of the Yomis.
It'll probably come back later.
It will indeed come back later. Hopefully during this interview, my mind during this time, like you said, empathy, compassion, I'm having compassion for it. Okay, this is so cute. So one girl who came on my retreat, her name is Sophie, and she wrote, "Oh my God, so excited. Please tell him I love him so much and I'm so inspired by him because he's so clearly living in his truth." And then she's like, "Sorry, I got too excited and forgot my cue." What are untraditional ways, tools to get out of your own way?
First of all, thank her very much for me, or if she's listening to this, thank you very much. That's really nice of you. I genuinely appreciate it. And the question is, what was what? Untraditional?
Yeah, untraditional ways or tools to help us get out of our own way.
So I don't know if they're, you know, what would define, I guess, untraditional versus traditional. But I can tell you what I do, which is a meditator. I meditate twice a day, every day. And I was taught by a woman named Emily Fletcher. And Ziva meditation. And it's basically a mantra-based meditation similar to transcendental or Vedic. And so you just kind of use the mantra over and over again to drop you deeper into the meditation. And you are practicing letting go of your thoughts and your emotions and returning to the moment. And doing that on a daily basis has been an absolute game changer to me.
I'm sure. And
in every area.
Do you do the same mantra?
Yeah. Well, I was given an advanced mantra in quotation marks. That's really hilarious that there would be an advanced mantra. But I did it for like 2 years straight, and then she gave me a longer mantra. You're not allowed to tell anyone what the mantra is, of course.
Yes.
It's just, you know, a secret between you and God. But yeah, I mean, the mantra I don't think really matters in the end. It's just kind of like a gym for letting go. You know, you're just practicing letting go over and over and over again. And the mantra helps you do that. And then when you're in life, you're much more able to deal with a trigger in reality rather than taking some, you know, unresolved projected shit from the past and bringing it into a new moment and overreacting or underreacting even, you know. So that's been really helpful. I've done an enormous amount of body work. I've done an enormous amount of yoga. I literally moved across the street from Modo Yoga in Los Angeles because that's how much I liked it. At the time, I had an assistant and I was like, I want to get closer to Modo Yoga. I said, we got to move. I'm ready to move. So he looked up. His name is Johnny. He like looks up on the computer, like, you know, places near Modo Yoga. And literally 5 minutes later, he goes, oh, he goes, that's crazy. I said, what? We were like sitting across the coffee table. He goes, this place has a picture like of Modo Yoga in the background from the picture that they took of the living room.
Oh my God.
Like the living room has a window and it faces Modo Yoga. And I literally was like, great, give me the appointment. And then I moved in like a week later.
Of course.
You know, so that's been huge for me. You know, there's been many, many practices that have helped me to continue to, it's like tracing paper. You get more and more close to your truth. You're never going to fully be aligned. But the closer that you get, the better your life will be.
Divine timing, Johnny. Divine timing indeed.
Johnny's the man.
That is so cool. And I mean, so wise, by the way, because it's like you see it and you have no excuse but to not go now. It's right there.
Oh, that was the running joke. I mean, I'm friends with the two women who run it, Dina and Emily. They're like sisters to me. And so the joke is if I would be at my house and I'd be like, oh, yoga's in 5 minutes. And then I'll be like, I got 3 minutes. I literally just walk right into the class, you know, for years.
That and is so brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. But by the way, they're doing an amazing like live stream now to anybody who's listening to this and who's in Los Angeles or around the world. And they have really, really incredible yoga. And I think now more than ever, we have to support the businesses that are doing the higher work because they're going to be hit pretty hard. And they're just an incredible, incredible community and have an incredible practice. So if anybody's interested in that, they can just look up Modo Yoga LA.
Oh my gosh, shout out Modo Yoga. you know what? I'll include that in the show notes for you. Why not?
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, their practice has been, you know, unbelievable for me.
Amazing. Amazing. Now this one from Eva Louise CHR. She writes, what do you identify as good poetry?
You know, I've heard so much poetry over the years. Uh-huh. And first of all, let me just say, I know I talk too much. It's like we got to get
moving. No, this is great.
These questions. I'll like talk for 20 minutes or whatever on one question. But some of my best art experiences I've ever had, truly, I mean this, were in the audience watching another poet on stage. And I was just cracked open. So I've been around the best poets in the entire world. I was really, really blessed. And for me, you know, I listened to so much poetry live over the years that I got to a place where I'm either really like, it's almost like my ear, like I won't click into someone anymore when they're reading unless they're really, really brilliant and their voice is just really unique and their style is really developed, or they're just honest and vulnerable. And those are the two things that really move me now. So that's what I consider great poetry. You know, what I feel is in the middle, I think it's still important, you know, and I promote, you know, everyone to create as much as possible. But I think, you know, no one can teach you what your voice is. Your voice in any art form comes from experiencing it. And the more that you experience it, the more you will develop your style. And if you develop your style enough, you'll be, you know, a real outlier in that particular genre. But, you know, as blown away as I am when I see an outlier in poetry is as blown away as I am when someone just gets up and tells a fucking story and is real about it and is honest and opens up their heart to me. I mean, that sometimes is even more moving. So that's what I consider great.
And I'm sure God, Source, Universe sees that and sees that as poetic in and of itself, whether it rhymes or not.
Oh, yeah. If you have the intention of something being a poem, it is a poem.
Yeah.
Don't listen to anyone else who gives you all of these, you know, rules and regulations. It's like literally all imaginary bullshit. You just have to have the intention of something being a poem and then choose something that's moving and meaningful to you. That's it.
Oh, you know, I just realized that I don't think you included, but you had it in your uncorrected proof, the silence piece.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to even share that, but I thought that was brilliant.
Thank you. I used to do that on stage. You know, I'd do it in like the middle of the set and then I'd be like, this piece is called Silence. And then I'd go. And I would just wait. I would wait for like, I've done like minutes.
Oh, that is brilliant.
And people get very uncomfortable. Really? And like they start to shit. Yeah, some people laugh. Some people start crying. Really. And we just sit there. And then in the end I go, it took me my whole life to write that poem.
Ooh.
And so that was the joke. So then we were like, well, how do we translate that into the book? So now it just says silence. And then there's just blank pages. And then it just says, you know, it took me my whole life to write that poem and the end of it. But what's interesting is that if I could have done it again, I mean, there's always ways that you would choose to change your piece of art.
I'm sure.
You know, I would have done like 40 pages. That maybe 40 is too much, but I would have done like
why not?
12 pages of blank silence just because I think it would have made the point even more. But, you know, it's still what it needs to be.
That would have been so brilliant. You know what? It's there in spirit. And also people know the intention behind it.
Exactly.
I love it. By the way, Allie just texted. She says, I love him so much.
Oh, yeah. She's the absolute best. She's in Hawaii right now.
I know.
If you got to be on quarantine, that is the place to be.
That would not be the worst place. I was supposed to go there in a couple weeks, but now looks like I'm just staying in. I'm just staying here.
Yeah. Tell her I said I love her and, you know, I'm thinking about her.
For sure. Will do. And you also tell, I'm sure she'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Out. Amazing. And I'll ask one more of these questions. Let's see.
We could do a speed round. I'll say it very quickly. I won't go off on my diatribes.
Okay. Okay. We'll do a couple more then, speed round. Brenna Gallio, how did you find your editors and publisher? I'm having a hard time with my poem book.
Yeah, I totally hear that. Okay, speed round. I got to go quick. speed round is Andrea Barsby, who's my agent, was connected to us through Atticus, who's an amazing, amazing poet. He does a lot of work on Instagram and has national best-selling books. And we're friends. And so he connected me with her and we got along right away. And her and my manager, Kevin Heckmet, we put together a brief and we sent it out to a bunch of publishers and we got 4 meetings and we got 3 offers and we went with the best offer and the place that we knew we were going to be most comfortable. I know it's difficult to get your stuff out right now, probably especially. But the best way to do it is to do it through an agent. Because publishing industry in terms of like books is very formal in that way. And it's harder to get in, you know, by just making a cold call or getting a cold introduction through an email than it is to having someone who's an actual agent who sold a bunch of books doing the legwork for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes it easier on you too. Let's see, Kay Blondie. So you already talked about the second half of this question, but I'll say the full thing. And maybe you can do a speed round sum up. When is your poetry book going to be ready and what inspires you to write?
So the poetry book is ready now. So you can buy it on in-q.com. I guess Amazon. I would have said all Barnes and Nobles, yes. But I don't know. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Which, of course, I put in the intro.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that. But it's weird now because, I mean, we were going to try to get on late night. That's not going to happen. We were going to try to like, you know, we had all these plans and now basically they're out the window along with everybody else's plans. So yeah. It's going to be an interesting thing to see whether or not, you know, people buy it.
Oh.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to say one more thing because I've never told this story and I'm feeling comfortable with you. So I'm just going to like truly answer your question. My amazing editor, Gideon, at Harper One, he goes, this is like 3 months ago before anything was happening. He goes, this is my favorite part. He goes, Q, this is my favorite part because This is when you get to see it hit the market. And in my head, I was like, hit the market? I was like, what the fuck? I've never hit the market before. I said, I don't know how I hit the market, you know? I literally had no idea and still have no idea. So I don't know if people are going to like these podcasts or not like these podcasts or buy the book or not buy the book. What I know is that I'm really proud of it and that I want to share it with as many people as possible and that I can't do anything other than be myself and hope that that resonates with people. And that's in my writing, it's in my performing, and it's, I guess, in my marketing, in quotation marks. and right now, I wrote something about the experience that we're all going through in the last like 4 days. And the first line is, the virus doesn't care about our nations. It doesn't care about the boundaries drawn by our imaginations, you know, and then it just goes from there. And I'm inspired about, you know, to write about the things that I'm inspired to write about.
That just come from the soul of Adam, of NQ. That's one thing I just love. And it reminds me of how we are all so connected. I mean, you and I are completely different people, yet I'll read your poetry and I'm like, oh my gosh, me, same, you know? And that is so inspirational in and of itself. Also, you don't have to worry about that quote unquote marketing, because I just have an inkling of a feeling that this is all going to divinely work out, because it is from something that is beyond you, you know?
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. It just is a mirror to the human experience, like all good art is. I mean, that's why it's the same thing. If I listen to Ali's work or if I listen to, you know, one of your great podcasts, I can see myself in it. You know, and I feel like I can go, okay, all right, I'm not alone in this thing. You know, all the stuff we're all going through, the fears, the anxieties, you know, the pain, you know, the jealousy, the anger, you know, I don't have to hide that from other people or from myself. You know, it's okay to acknowledge it, to accept it, to integrate it, and then to alchemize it. But it's not okay to perpetuate it or to victimize myself. And that's what great art is, I think, is a reminder to live our best lives.
Absolutely. And that reminded me of that question that floated away for a second. It just came back. And then I'll ask the last question just to wrap it up for you. Do you mind if I ask the two questions? First of all, do you have
time? Oh, yeah. It's all good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm just going to do Pilates after this with my girlfriend. I mean, literally, there's nothing to do. It's crazy. There's so much to do and the nothing to do, but.
And I love the fact that you get to do that at home, because I was like, oh no, he has to hurry to a Pilates class. Oh wait, there's no way he has to hurry to a Pilates class.
Yeah, we just, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to just do some yoga after this as well.
That's right.
Yep. I'm very yin though right now.
Yeah, I hear that. That's yin is good for you right now. You know, when you're healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Though my mind, of course, is like, oh, you got to do some power flows. And I'm like, no, it's fine. But the question, and it's still here, which is great. So there are a lot of spiritualists that suggest, as words are extremely powerful, there's a vibration to them, that to remain in a quote unquote like positive headspace. And so what you're going to say to keep that as positive as possible. Yet at the same time, in my heart, I feel like when it comes to art and expressing yourself, expressing your soul and just like releasing it, getting out of you, it's important to just be truthful and honest. And so I love that that's part of your art. It's just being true and honest. But have you ever run into a situation, or have you ever had the experience when you started getting into spirituality of like, oh, I can't really say this because that's negative? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of the spiritualists are wrong, or they're not wrong in like, I don't know, like the universal sense, that, but they're wrong. Right. Personally, for me, I don't know how to do that. I mean, I remember being stoned and like watching The Secret like a long time ago. And I mean, I was like, wow, you know, and I was so taken by it that I think I just completely misunderstood the law of attraction. So for a long time, I was walking around like, oh, everything's great. Like, everything's great. No, everything's not. No, it's everything's great. It's totally great, guys. It's all great. It's not. It's not all great. What you have to come to terms with is that it is not all great, but that's what's great. You're like, it's great even if it's not all great. But if you don't acknowledge the fact that it's not all great, then you're lying to yourself. And if you're lying to yourself, you're lying to God. Like, I don't, yep. You know, there's no, this world is a world of dichotomy.
Yeah.
And you need the dichotomy. You need the bad to have a comparison point to know what good is.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not a proponent of like ignoring the negative shadow emotions that you have. I'm a proponent of taking them and using that word again, alchemy, like alchemizing those things so that you create something with it rather than destroy something with it. And I think that that is the key. You know, that's the thing that truly, you know, unlocks that process of alchemy. And it's something I'm still learning, you know, and I have various degrees of success and failure on a moment to moment basis, but that's my goal, is to be honest with myself about what's really going on, to fully accept it. You know, if I'm judging myself, don't judge myself for judging myself. If I'm scared, don't be afraid of being scared. You know, I mean, just accept it and then choose to be empowered anyway. And to try to take an action in the world that will be positive for yourself and other people.
Ugh, amen. Ugh, create it, alchemize it through some sort of art. That is key. Because it, like you said, you could end up just destroying yourself. I indeed know from trying to spiritual bypass so much for so long that it ended up paralyzing me. And
What do you mean by that? Like, what specifically are you talking about?
Trying to stick to a certain narrative, a rhetoric of myself that seems so positive and light, where I wasn't allowing myself to fully face or come to terms with what was really going on within. And that ended up me thinking that I was transcending it or alchemizing it to be positive just by acting positive actually led to a sort of, I guess, destruction in a sense, where I just was paralyzed for so long and felt disconnected. And this is something that I've talked about on the podcast, because that happened in more recent, like about a year and a half ago or so. And I really just felt so paralyzed because I wasn't allowing myself to fully alchemize, like you say, what was really going on in an appropriate way, because you can't fake it. You just can't.
No, and when you suppress it or ignore it or distract yourself from it or force yourself to be positive, you push it into a place and it has nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And so it stays inside of you, and eventually it tries to get out in other ways, like through diseases or like, you know, screaming at people in traffic or, you know, and that's a problem with our hero culture, you know, is that everyone looks up to people like they have all the answers, even in this like self-help, you know, thing. Everyone's saying, I have the answers. No, you don't. You have some answers for you, you know, but you don't have answers for other people, you know, and you, all you can do is share your experience. So I don't have answers. I have my experiences and I have my questions. And that's what I'm sharing through my art. And when I look up to heroes, I'm disappointed that they're human later. You know, it's when I look up to them as heroes, what happens is their accomplishments don't seem inspiring to me. They seem discouraging, because I'm like, they're superhuman. Like, I could never accomplish that, you know? And so it actually makes me feel bad about myself rather than feel inspired to take action. And then they inevitably disappoint me because they're not superhuman. You know, and that's what makes their accomplishment so incredible, that they did it anyway and they're human.
Ugh.
So, you know, I mean, if somebody's listening to me and they look up to me or whatever, don't. Don't look up to me. Look at me.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on either. I'm just one moment to the next moment, one step at a time. And we're all in this together.
Oh my gosh. Amen. Again, that is why I've been feeling so good the past year, just being like, yo, I'm so human. and sharing everything that comes to mind and heart, being so transparent and vulnerable. And now I just think that people definitely feel more of just a sister connection than anything else, which is the best thing you can ask for, because no one is superhuman at all. And I question everyone that does, like you said, say that they have the remedy for everything.
Well, because they're really probably trying to sell you something rather than share something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're...
See, we rarely talked about your book, but this, I'm telling you, I just know that this in and of itself, just you sharing this truth, all these truths from your heart in this present moment, is medicine and is that quote unquote marketing in and of itself, because I just want to read from somebody that is them, that's not trying to sell me something. So thank you for just being present in this conversation. I am happy that I just went off of whatever the conversation was going to be, like I usually do, because you'll receive, they can listen to all the other podcasts you're on to receive that information. But I'm so glad to have just had this present conversation with you from your heart in this moment. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I appreciate you sharing me with your audience. And, you know, just to anyone who's listening, I know times are hard right now, but just be safe, be kind, and keep loving each other.
And before you go, though, I have one question for you.
Yes.
That I'm sure Ali asked you the very first time you're on this podcast, that we ask all the Euromagic guests.
Mm-hmm.
How would you advise the Euromagic listeners to create their own magic?
You know, just trust in your own magic. That's really what it is, because if you pay attention to it and then you trust it, then you can follow it. You know? I don't know if it's Jason Silva. Somebody, he's a buddy of mine, but somebody told me that he said something at a conference, or maybe I pulled this out of thin air, but it's this idea of, if you don't know what your purpose is, you know, think about what you're passionate about. And if you don't know what you're passionate about, think about what you're fascinated by. And if you don't know what you're fascinated by, think about what you're interested in. And if you don't know what you're interested in, think about what you're curious about, you know, because you don't have to start so big, you know, just look around and say, what am I curious about? And then follow that. You know, if you follow the path will lead the way, because the path is your enthusiasm, but it can be small. And that's how you find your magic, is to follow your magic.
Ugh, again, that is brilliant. And that is so helpful for those that might feel paralyzed, that they have to jump from A to Z. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And also thank your girlfriend for listening to this podcast. I want to connect with her.
She loves you.
Ah, I love her. Yeah. I don't even know her. What's her name?
Adriana,
that's beautiful. Yeah, connect us.
I will, absolutely. Yeah, I'll put you guys on on something, either on Insta or on text.
I love that. And I love everything that you create. And thank you. Thank you again so much. Where can everybody connect with you?
They can go to in-q.com, and that's my website, or at InQLife on Instagram or Facebook, and just kind of look up InQ Poetry and it'll get you there. And definitely please get the book. And if you do get the book, let me know what you think about it. You know, tag me in it. And then just once again, thank you for having me. And you know, these podcasts are going to be important for people now more than ever, really. And so you're doing really important work, and I support you and appreciate you.
Thank you. That means a lot. And thank you for this time. Seriously, it meant the world.
Wonderful.
Dear Yomis, thank you so much, so, so much for lending your ear and taking time, valuable time for your soul to listen to this episode today. I'm honored to provide this for you, and I hope something in this spoke to you and shifted you in some way. I would love to personally connect with your soul on, well, of course, IRL, but also on the Instagrams or the Facebooks. My Instagram, which I am finally active on, is at Raquel Mantra. That is spelled R-A-Q-U-E-L-L-E mantra. I'll put that in the show notes. And make sure to not only see and respond to all the comments, but also send love back to you, because why not? And then for you to also connect with me and this powerful tribe of like-minded individuals, high-vibing individuals to raise your vibrations, feel free to join us in the Your Own Magic secret Facebook group. That will also be left in the show notes. And feel free to browse yourownmagic.life. I have some free guided meditations on there and more information about upcoming retreats and events. And of course, my offering, my service, is the Soul Tribe exclusive site, which is $44.44 USD. This is for life, for you to receive many meditations. And the most recent one was to help you reprogram your subconscious mind to see your highest potential in a hypnotic state. For example, like reprogramming your subconscious mind to see your highest potential while you're in a hypnotic state, along with others like activating your third eye or short, simple ones to ease you into your morning or alleviate anxiety, and a lot of deep imaginings, which I love to do personally, is to just visualize and expand my imagination so I can be more creative in my day. In addition to that, other soul expanding journalings to ask yourself every morning, and magic challenges and other spiritual rituals, yada yada. Anyway, I love you all so much. Thank you so much for listening, and have a magical day.